want you to turn your Bibles with me to Luke, the 21st chapter. And we're going to read the 19th verse. This is my second favorite scripture in all of the Bible. The first is Matthew 6:33, and this one, the Luke 21:19, is my second favorite verse in the Bible. This scripture has helped me tremendously in my life, in dealing with situations, in dealing with challenging situations, in dealing with changes in my life. This scripture that we're about to read, and I'm explaining to you why it's important. We are now, as Apostle mentioned, we're now in the information age. And so in this information age, it's exactly what it is. It's an age of information, meaning you're going to get so much input, so much flying around you, so much traffic, so much being said, so much being done, that we in the body of Christ are going to have to mature. Now, I got four simple steps to maturity, four simple steps. But in these four simple steps, they're going to have to be done repetitively, over and over and over again. It's not going to be you do these steps one time and now you're mature. No, this is why Jesus said you must come unto him as a little child, because these steps are going to have to be repeated over and over and over again. Matter of fact, before we go to Luke 21:19, I want you to turn to Ephesians the fourth chapter. Watch what it says. Ephesians the fourth chapter. Ephesians the fourth chapter. Ephesians the fourth chapter and the 12th verse. Now, a lot of times we want to focus on the 11th verse, but I want to focus on the 12th verse. Now, we know we have, God give us the fivefold ministry gifts, but the 12th verse gives the reason why Jesus gave us these gifts. It says, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, watch this, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now watch this. This, and it's colon there, because this is how we're going to get to the fullness of Christ. This is how we're going to get to the fullness of Christ. Watch this. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So here the Apostle Paul is already talking to us about the information age. The Apostle Paul is telling us, hey, listen, the reason why I'm sending these gifts in the body of Christ is so that we as the body of Christ will have an opportunity to mature. Why we need to mature? So that we can do the work of the ministry. Why do we need to do the work of the ministry? So the body of Christ can be built or enlarged. So if we don't mature, the work goes undone. If the work goes undone, then the gospel cannot spread all over this earth. Are you hearing me? So Luke 21:19. So these four simple steps is something that we got to do repetitively. Now, with all of the impartation that Apostle is putting out to us, these four steps will put you in a position to begin to apply what he's saying. Now, Word of Life, you know, I know that we are getting the Word of God. Amen. But getting the Word of God is not enough. We have to apply it. is not good enough to be associated. It's not just good enough to be associated. Association or connection is the first step. The next step is application. So in Luke 21:19, watch this. Luke 21:19, this is, like I said, my favorite scripture behind Matthew 6:33. Luke 21:19. This is the first step to maturity. Now, I don't have time to read it, but if you start reading that 21st chapter, Jesus began to talk about things that are going to happen. When you read that, you're going to recognize some things that are happening currently. But then Jesus gets to this 19th verse. I love it. He gets to this 19th verse, and watch what he says. He says, in your what? Patience, possess you your soul. So Jesus is saying that you are going to have to possess your soul. Now, why is it important? Is this the first step in maturity? Why is it important that I possess my soul? It is important to possess my soul because without me possessing my soul, that is the area, that is the only area that Satan can run rampant in. It's the only place that he can run rampant in. And so if I don't possess my soul, I'm doomed not to mature. Right. I have to begin to possess my soul. I have to realize that what I'm going through is not who I am. Mm-hmm. It's not who I am. It's a situation that I'm going through, and I have to settle my thoughts. Settle my mind so that I can receive instructions, so I can take time to process, let the Holy Spirit process. See, if you don't possess your soul, Satan is going to come tap dance on your mind. He's going to tap dance in your soul, in your mind. There's so much information going out nowadays. There's so much people are saying, so much of people are doing, that if you don't quiet your soul, possess your soul. How do we possess our soul? The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Turn there. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the Apostle Paul gives us insight on how we quieten or possess our soul. Now notice, Jesus said you possess your soul. Nobody else can't possess your soul for you. It's going to have to be you. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter. Watch this, verse 3. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now watch this, this is important. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For the weapons, verse 4, of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So the weapons of our warfare do not originate in our mind. I'm going to say that again, because that went over your head. The weapons that we deal with, that we fight with in the natural, do not originate in our mind. Where do they originate? In our spirit. But the mind has to be quietened down. Those thoughts have to be captured. Watch this. Watch what it says in the 5th verse. Casting down imaginations, that's thoughts, and every high thing, watch this, that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Or let me say it like this, to the obedience of the Word. John 1, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus and the Word of God are synonymous. So the Apostle Paul is telling us that we have to bring every imagination, every idea, every thought, anything that crosses our thought pattern, we have to capture it and bring it under subjection to Christ or the Word of God. Turn with me to Joshua 1 and 8. This is important. This is the first step to maturity, is possessing your soul. Now, you can possess your soul, but if you don't possess your soul, what it means possess, what I mean, capture those thoughts. Watch what you're thinking. Watch what's in your environment. Anything that's in your environment that's contrary to the word of God, you need to get it out of your environment. Possessing your soul, watching what you think, not walking through life unconscious. Walking through life conscious. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 4 that he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and he came out to the disciples and he was asleep. He said, can't y'all pray with me the hour? And then what he said? He said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. In other words, Jesus would tell him, I need you to be alert while you're praying. Not to be unconscious. Not just going through the motions, but to be conscious and pray. Aware and pray. Watch and pray. That means you have to watch what's going on through your mind. You have to watch what's going on through your mind. If you don't control the thoughts in your mind, you will not mature, because Satan is always trying to deceive you. He's always trying to distract you. He's always trying to get you off of course. And with all this happening in the world today, all it is Satan trying to get you off of course. Now, the world system, they off course. They're off course. They're trying to figure things out. They're trying to make things work. But Satan is tap dancing on their soul. But we, as the body of Christ, should not be in that same position. We should be able to possess our soul. Yes, you're going to go through some things. Yes, you're going to face some challenges in your life. But when you possess your soul, you're giving yourself a chance to mature in that situation. I hope you're hearing me. Joshua 1 and 8. Turn there with me. Give it to me on the board. Joshua 1 and 8. It says, but this book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest, watch this, observe to do according to all that is written therein. Observe to do. Observe to do, meaning I recognize. I meditate, I think about the word of God, I spend time with God so that I can recognize what to do. So I can observe to do all that is written therein. And what's going to happen? Then I make my way prosperous, and then I have good success. That all begins with you making your mind quiet. Making your mind quiet. How you make your mind quiet? Every thought that comes in your mind that's contrary to the word of God, when you compare it to the word of God, you're causing that thought to be quiet. You're causing that thought to be shut down because this thought don't agree with the word of God. Yes, I'm facing the situation. Yes, I'm facing some challenges, but what I'm facing is no comparison to the word of God. So I have to stop these thoughts that's trying to use the power that God has given me for those thoughts to come alive. If I don't stop them, those thoughts come alive in my life. But when I meditate the word of God, when I meditate the word of God, when I spend time with the word of God, I have the ability. See, the reason why most people walk around unconscious is because they don't have the power to quieten their mind. You cannot quieten your mind without the word of God, because you have nothing to compare it to. When you don't have the word of God, you have nothing to compare those thoughts to. So guess what? You're comparing thoughts to thoughts that don't come to the word of God, and they both confused. So rather deal with it, people zone out. They go unconscious. They don't realize that the word of God helps them or gives them or puts them in a position to quiet their mind, so they zone out. So they just let life happen to them. They just let life life just bring situations, and they just watch this, and they conform to the situation. Psalms 1. There go my people. Looking at all my people. Good to see you all. Psalms 1. Watch this. Now we're about to see something here that David alluded to, but because they were in the Old Testament, I don't think David fully understood what was happening to him. But because of Jesus Christ and him crucified, we can read this particular psalm that David and have even more clarity than he had. Watch this. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. That means spend time with the word, spend time with God, day and night. Now watch what verse 3 says. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, plural, of one water. Rivers, plural, of one type of water. The Holy Spirit throughout the Bible has been represented by water. So here, David is letting us know that when we meditate the word of God, we will be a tree that absorbs nutrients, absorbs information, absorbs knowing what to do. Never running out of information, because we're planted by rivers, plural, of water. That cannot happen if you don't have the ability and you don't take the time to quieten your mind. Some of y'all are too busy. You're too busy trying to solve a problem that's already solved. You're too busy trying to figure it out when it's already been figured out. Instead of you trying to receive an answer, you're trying to come up with an answer. See, this is maturity. This is maturity. Yes, I'm going to say it again. Yes, you're going to face situations. One of the greatest misconceptions that we have in the body of Christ is that we're not going to face anything. That's a misconception. Listen, let me tell you something. Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden, was preparation ground for Adam and Eve to learn how to cooperate with God, so that when God was supposed to finish teaching them how to walk in dominion, he was going to loose them in the outer darkness and they were going to recreate Eden. But the problem is they let Satan tap dance on their soul. When Satan tap danced on their soul, it caused them to act on information that came from some other place besides God. And so God said, okay, since you think you know already, go ahead and face the darkness. But because of Jesus Christ and him crucified, we don't have to face the darkness the same way Adam and Eve faced the darkness, because we have the light on inside of us. But if we don't quieten our minds, if we don't possess our soul, we can't let everybody talk to us. We can't watch all the TV shows. We can't listen to all the music. Because I got to protect my environment. I think it's Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word issues means border, or the borders of your life. So I have to guard my soul, guard my mind with all diligence, because watch this, Out of my mind are the borders, are the parameter of my life. I'll be able to get to a border, get to a fence, and not cross the fence because I know it's danger on the other side of that fence. Why? Because I've been guarding my environment. I'm guarding what I hear. I'm guarding who's talking to me. I'm guarding the environment I'm in. So therefore, I can quiet my mind when I'm facing difficult situations. Second step. You got first step. First step to maturity is possessing your soul. You got to possess your soul. You are in control of your soul. Look how many times God gave us dominion in the form of our soul. He said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. He didn't say, I'm going to make you serve. Choose you this day. Uh-huh. Then he got in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, 9th chapter, I think it is. Yeah, 2 Corinthians, 9th chapter. He said, let every man purpose it in his own heart. In Isaiah 1 and 19, he said, if you are willing and obedient. So if you're not able to be in full control of your mind, it's going to be very hard for you to mature. In this information age, you're going to have to be in control of your mind because information is going to be coming from everywhere. And the Bible already said, and we read it in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, that we should not be children tossed to and fro and carried about it wherever every wind of doctrine or all the information that's out there. Step number one, possess your soul. Step number two is going to have to be self-sacrifice. Turn in Romans, the 12th chapter. Now, notice now I'm giving these steps, but these steps are going to have to be repeated over and over. These steps, just because you go through these steps one time, don't mean you've arrived. You're going to do this again and again and again. Step number two, self-sacrifice. Romans, the 12th chapter. Watch this. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, watch this now. If I don't possess my soul, then I'm not going to be a living sacrifice because I have to decide to be a living sacrifice. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? It's strange that the Apostle Paul would say a living sacrifice because all of the sacrifices that you may have known about are dead. But the Apostle Paul says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. So that means while I am alive, something else has to die. So what is it that has to die? Now, if the first step is to possess my soul, the second step is self-sacrifice, what that means? I'm sacrificing what I want, what I think ought to happen, what I have planned, what I see needs to be done. You see, it's a building. See, this is why these steps are going to be repetitive in your life, to mature, to keep maturing in the things of God. There's never a place you're going to arrive, but in order to maintain victory in your life, in order to maintain victory, even in difficult situations, going through this process, through these steps, are going to cause you to be in victory. Number one, possessing my soul. Number two, self-sacrifice. Turn with me to Galatians 2. Galatians 2. Verse 20, I am, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, sounds very close to Romans 12 and 1, doesn't it? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, Yet not I. Yet not I. That's self-sacrifice. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21. Verse 21 says, if I don't understand how to quiet my soul, if I don't understand how to possess my soul, then I will frustrate this grace. I will frustrate this empowerment that's waiting on me to receive it. When I can't possess my soul and I don't want to give up my ideas. When I don't want to give up my way of doing things and yield my life, submit my life, submit my thoughts to him in every situation, not just in general, but every situation. They not treat me right on the job. I got to submit myself to God. God, how do you want to handle this? God, I know how I want to handle it. I know what I want to do. But God, is this what you want to do? Is this how you want to handle this? God, I want to sacrifice my thoughts about this. Sacrifice my ways about this. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Watch this. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I turned too many pages. Not Romans. I said 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. The 19th verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Self-sacrifice. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, make God successful in your body and in your spirit, which are his. That's the word glorify mean. Make him successful. It's your decision. It's your choice to make him successful in your body, to make him successful in what you do in life. That's your choice. That's why if you don't possess your soul, first step to maturity, if you don't get a hold of your soul, there can be no self-sacrifice because your flesh always, your soul, unrenewed mind always going to come up with a plan. Your unrenewed mind always going to come up with a plan. Always. There's not one time you had to deal with something that your unrenewed mind hadn't come up with a plan. Even if you didn't know what to do, that was your unrenewed mind coming up with a plan. Luke 9, a lot of scriptures. Luke 9. Self-sacrifice. Step number one is possess your soul. Step number two is self-sacrifice. When I'm talking about self-sacrifice, I'm talking about your mind, your thoughts, what you want to do, how you think this ought to go. How you already had it all figured out, but you forgot to find out from God, is this what he wants to do? Luke 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. This sounds like Romans 12 and 1. This sounds like 1 Corinthians 6:20. This sounds like Galatians 2:20. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily, and follow me. Look at verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life. Now, what it means, what Jesus talking about? Jesus talking about losing your ideal about what you want to do with your life that doesn't include him. When you toil trying to make things happen, trying to make things work. And the worst, here's the worst thing. When we take the word of God, when we quote the word of God and try to take the word of God and make something happen that we don't even know if it's God's will. Trying to take the word of God and confess it so much to where we're going to make it happen. We're going to take the word of God and make God do what we want him to do. Without ever saying, God, how do you want to handle this? God, am I dealing with this right? Now, if you don't possess your soul, if you don't possess your soul, you can't get to self-sacrifice. If you don't, because in possess your soul, we're talking about controlling your anger, controlling your emotions, controlling your mouth. Controlling your mouth. Control your mouth in a multiplicity of ways. Stop saying stuff that you don't want to happen. Stop being flipped when you don't need to be flipped. Sometimes you need to be quiet. Wait a minute now. I didn't say you was going to master this overnight. I told you when I first got up here, this has been one of my favorite scriptures that's helped me through situations. Listen, it is a learning curve to possess your soul. It is a learning curve to possess your soul. That's why it ain't gonna be no something just overwhelm you and you one day you not possess your soul and the next day you possess your soul. No. That's why these steps have to be done over and over and over and over until you come in the fullness of Christ. Possessing your soul, self-sacrifice. Third step. I said four, right? Said four steps, so I'm at the third step, so we ain't gonna be much longer. Third step is knowing what to do. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter and the second verse. Knowing what to do. All right. Watch the flow now. Watch the flow. I have to possess my soul. Right. What possessing my soul does, it quiets my mind down so that all this other traffic and all this other information and all this other things that are happening around me can be subjected to the word of God, which gives me a chance to get to number two, which is self-sacrifice. So now I'm able to catch these thoughts that I'm thinking to myself about how I'm going to figure this out, how I'm going to do, what I'm going to do, and I can shut them down too. So I can make room. So I can make room to discover or recognize what to do. Watch this, Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. It's very easy to be conformed to this world. All you got to do is clock out. Get unconscious. Matter of fact, I'm about to touch on some religious toes. Just pray. Don't watch and pray, just pray. Just pray. Don't watch and pray, just pray, and you're going to conform. See, Jesus said we have to watch and pray. Go with me to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We'll come back to Romans. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Verse 18. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Why? that utterance may be given unto us, that we may open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, so we can discover what we need to discover so that we can accomplish what God is asking us to accomplish. You can't just clock out. You can't just clock out when you're praying. You have to be conscious, listening for God, so that you can do what Romans 12 and 2 is saying. Turn there. Go back there. Romans 12 and 2. Watch this. Go back there. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind can't be renewed if you're not able to clean your mind. If you can't possess your soul and realize, wait a minute, I got too much clutter. I got too much clutter. Let me quieten this down. Let me slow down. Let me not act so fast. Let me not make no haste decisions. Let me not make no quick movements. Let me not just jump on this. Let me possess my soul. Let me set my ideas on the side. Let me talk to the Holy Spirit so I can discover, recognize what to do. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Watch this, that ye may prove or recognize what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Go with me to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. This is, yep, you doggone right. This is very simple. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. Very simple, on purpose. So I believe in systems. What you mean, Leroy Jr., you say I believe in systems? I believe in developing systems that I can train myself or discipline myself so I get the same outcome. No matter what I face, I go through this system, go through these steps. These steps have caused me to come through some troubling challenges. It has caused me to be triumphant in situations. There's not a situation I face I have not overcome. Because I know how to possess my soul. Can't nobody throw me off. You can't offend me. I made up my mind. Can't nobody make me mad. They'll do things that might get my blood boiling, but I ain't about to act on it. I'm going to get off to myself and possess my soul. So I just don't react. I can respond. Proverbs 3. Let's see. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine soul and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will do what? Direct your path. Verse 7, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Watch this. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Here is, in Proverbs, it's telling us to, in all our ways, to acknowledge the Lord, knowing what to do, giving the Holy Spirit a chance to give us insight. Do you know the Holy Spirit is the revealer of the deep things of God? Thank you, Holy Spirit. When you possess your soul, set your ideas on the side. That's number 2, self-sacrifice. 3, finding out what to do. Your depth or your effectiveness or your path to an effective answer becomes clearer. See, you start off, if you don't possess your soul, if you don't possess your soul, you stop yourself at surface answers. You stop yourself on worldly answers. You're going to do things the way the world would do it. You're going to make decisions the way the world going to make them. And then you are conforming. But when you possess your soul, you sacrifice your ideas, and you give the Holy Spirit a chance, now you're getting to that supernatural answer you're looking for. You get to that supernatural direction from God that you're looking for. First John 2:27. Now, a mature Christian will look at this scripture. A mature Christian will look at this scripture in a different way than an immature Christian. An immature Christian will look at this scripture and figure they don't have to learn nothing from nobody. They got the Holy Spirit. They know everything. But a mature Christian sees this scripture as the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of them, giving them the ability to be able to recognize the right answer. He says, watch this. But the anointing which you have received of him abided in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it had taught you, ye shall abide in him. A mature Christian looks at that scripture and recognizes that I don't know everything, but the anointing that's on the inside of me will give me access to all answers. No matter where they come from, I'm able to recognize it. So it's just not me originally coming up with all ideas, but it's me originally being able to recognize Holy Spirit ideas. Fourth step. First step, possess your soul. Second step, self-sacrifice. Third step, knowing what to do. See, this is. I'm trying to make it simple. I'm making it as simple as possible. When apostle gives us insight, you have to possess your soul. If it challenges what you think, possess your soul. Possess your soul and say, "Let me marinate this. Let me meditate on this. Get yourself out of the way. Get what you thought you were going to do out of the way." So that word, those instructions, can take us to the deep things of God. So we can get to the fourth step. Fourth step, see, if you do 1, 2, and 3, the fourth step is easy. The fourth step to maturity is simply execution. John 2:5, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, if you get through step one, you get through step two, self-sacrifice. Step one. Right, possess your soul. Step two, self-sacrifice. Three, knowing what to do. Four, now if you get through the first three, then you, by that time, let me tell you, there's a shift that happens between step three and step four. You will be endued with power. You will be endued with power to make it happen. That's when when you have not frustrated that grace. Now Philippians 4 and 13 become yours. Turn there, Philippians 4 and 13. Philippians 4, 13. What it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, that strengthening comes from doing step 1, 2, and 3. Christ has no reason to strengthen you to do what you want to do. He has no reason to strengthen you to do what you want to do. He has no reason to. He ain't getting none out of it. Because most times what we want to do is self-centered anyway. So the Apostle Paul's really dealing with difficult situations. He was really talking about, I can be abased and I can abound. No matter what situation I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Last scripture, Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. See that? See, through him. Through him that loved us. You're not a conqueror on your own. Not on your own. Even, watch this. Through him. Other words, I gotta be more than having the word with me. I got to put the word of God in front of me and be able to walk through the word. See, you're trying to walk through your situation and bring the word with you. But if you take the word of God and put it in front of you, between you and your situation, and walk through the word. Don't you just walk through the word and bring the word with you. You take the word of God. That's why you have to pause and be patient and possess your soul so you can take time to put the word of God in front of you, in between you and your situation, and then you walk through the word. When you walk through the word, now you're more than a conqueror through him. So whatever that is in front of you that's trying to stop you from being who God called you to be, you're more than a conqueror to overcome that. Maturity, watch this, and I'm closing with this statement. Maturity is about discovering who you are in him. Jesus already knows who he is in you. But you have to discover who you are in him.